Lord, I am free. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everybody to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching for Fervent Prayer for America. And then I pray for each one individually, applying the Holy Spirit, using the gifts of Holy Spirit, bringing sick loved ones. Jesus still heals. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud teaching. Excuse me. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The marvelous produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. To be or not to be. To be or not to be. Perhaps you've read William Shakespeare's plays and poems, and one of his poems, one of his characters says, "The world is a stage, and every person is a player on the stage, to be or not to be." You're on the stage, you be, and you're not on the stage, and you're not be. My dad, Corey Hare, who's in heaven now, said it just as well in a more practical way. Daddy said, life's like a fan belt. We're all here and we just roll along and then we fall off. To be or not to be. He was a genius.
Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling.
Now, who are the holy brethren? Those are the saved and sanctified Christians. Jesus was made to be sin who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. He called you holy. He took your unholy sin off of you and put on his holy robe of righteousness on you. In the eternity, the angels are going to call us the Holy One. Well, what does partakers of the heavenly calling mean? Partakers means members. And the heavenly calling is, because of the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, and 7, the first earth age, Lucifer, Isaiah 14, rebelled and interfered with God's plan and brought sin into the equation. Sin had separated God's children from God. And now Jesus is tenderly calling you home through his death, burial, and resurrection by paying our sin debt. Now, partakers means members. So, holy brethren, saved, sanctified Christian, you are members of the body of Christ, the many-membered member of the body of Christ. Okay, wherever you are, if you are saved and sanctified. Now, Paul tells us about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. He equates the many-membered body of Christ, the people, with the human body. Just look at your body. Look at all the parts you got there, the parts you can see and the parts you can't see. Wow. And he says the church, the many-membered body of Christ, is just like the partakers of the holy calling. And Paul says, the ear cannot say, I don't need the hand, I'm the ear, thank you very much. The hand cannot say, I don't need the foot, I'm the hand, thank you very much. Now, some of you right now are the ear, unless you're already snoozing, unless you're watching your cell phone there. But you see, if you're the ear, you need your hand, because you're holding your Bible and you're taking notes, and then in your foot, because when you hear the words you're about to hear and write it down and learn it, then you go take your foot and tell it to someone else. Now, everybody in the body of Christ is very important. And Paul says, even those members that do not seem very honorable. In other words, what about the spleen? Does anybody ever ask you, how's your spleen doing today? I mean, we totally ignore it, don't we? But I did a little research. I found out that the spleen actually fights bacteria in the body, especially bacteria of influenza. Influenza is a cold. So some members of the body of Christ are fighting influenza, fighting all kind of bad things that nobody even knows it. For the past 2.5 years, we have been the spleen down here on Wednesday night. You notice the eyes and ears and nose and mouth and all that, they don't come on Wednesday. The spleen comes because we don't do it for glory. We've been fighting the influenza of Dr. Fauci's mask and vaccines and all that mess and all the COVID virus, which is a type of flu. Look what we won. On the very day that Joe Biden gave his first address to the nation, no mask, no vaccine, no social distancing, bumping and hugging each other. So see, God answered this spleen is very, very important. Now, everybody in the body of Christ has a place in the body of Christ, and everybody is important. So we love one another. In other words, that is why everybody in the body of Christ needs to go to church. Because if you say, I'm the foot, I don't need to go to church. What if I cut your foot off? Your foot would die and the rest of the body would suffer. Everybody's important. So everybody, take your place.
Amen. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus.
Consider means pay attention, think on Jesus. Apostle means sent one. God sent his son to save us from our sins. Now notice it said the high priest of our profession. Profession means what you say, what you declare, what you speak. When Jesus arose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. So when you, a partaker of the holy calling, one of the members of the body of Christ, when you pray the Father in Jesus' name, Jesus hears what you say, and then he presents it to the Father. And Jesus says that you shall have what you say. He tells us that in Matthew. He tells us that in Mark 11. So you see, now, if you say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so tired, I'm so sick, I don't have enough money, I can't take this anymore, he has to give you what you say. You have what you say. Remember that? He's the high priest of profession. You say, well, how do I do that? I want to tell him I'm tired, I don't have enough money, I'm sick, can't take it anymore. Here's what you do. Here's why God gave you Isaiah 43:26. God says, put me in remembrance of my word. Okay, let's say that you are sick and you don't want to say that because you don't want him to give you that. Every time you say something, sound produces movement and that increases. So see, you hurt yourself. So you say, Father, in Jesus' name, your word says in Jeremiah 30, verse 17, you restore health to me and heal me out my wounds. Your word says, remember he said, put him in remembrance of the word? Your word says in Psalm 107:20, you sent your word and healed me. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to touch my body, restore health and cure to me, heal me of my wounds, and you sent your word and healed me, and I praise you for that. Now, same thing about you're tired. You know it's human nature when you're worn out. Do you know I'm so tired? I mean, it's natural. It's not a sin. It's just a natural thing. You want to tell somebody you're tired. You want to tell somebody you're sick. You want to tell somebody your troubles and all that. But you could say, if you say tired, he's going to make you more tired because it's high priest of profession. Sorry, I have to give you what you say. That's what he says. So you say, Father, in Jesus' name, your word says, I go from strength to strength. You increase my strength. I run, I'm not weary. I walk, I do not faint. And so, Father God, I ask that you'll verify your word, watch over your word, perform it in my body. And on and on and on, whatever your problem is, find the word of God. He's the high priest of your profession, and he'll give you what you say. So say the word of God, and you'll get the word of God. Does everybody Amen. Understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 2. Who is faithful to him that appointed him.
Now, God the Father appointed Jesus to take himself a body and come down here and be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, to die for our sins, shed his blood for our sins, and arise from the dead so we could be saved. When did God do that? 2 Peter 3:6-7, the world that then was. World means age. That was when Lucifer rebelled, Isaiah 14, and we were all with God. If the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. We were all there in the spirit body. And sin now had come into God's children, and the wages of sin is death. So that's when Jesus stepped up the plate, and he said, I will be the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. That's when Jesus said, I'll do it. It was before we were ever here in our flesh bodies.
As also Moses was faithful in all his house.
Moses is a type of Savior. The people in the Bible are types. He's a type of Savior, Jesus, because God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He kind of saved them from slavery. They were in the wilderness 40 years, and the people murmured and gave Moses a hard time. But he was faithful in what God had called him to do, because he knew that one day the Messiah would come through that lineage to save us from our sins. His own sister Miriam and his brother Aaron turned against them, and God sent leprosy upon them. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. And Moses intervened and said, heal them. So God healed them. In Numbers chapter 16, his own cousin Korah said, I can be the leader just like you. I'm the tribe of Levi. And God sent a sick hole and swallowed Korah, and a whole bunch of people were killed, and a plague broke out. And Moses fell down and prayed for them, even though they were trying to run him out of town or just get rid of him. He prayed for them, intervened for them. He was very faithful. Now, it is required of a partaker of the heavenly calling to be faithful. Proverbs 28 says, a faithful man, woman, boy, girl, shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Well, what are the blessings? Deuteronomy 28, blessings come on you. Blessings overtake you. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. Bless the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your sheep, the flock of your sheep, and the flock of your kind. Your basket is blessed. Your store is blessed. The work of your hands is blessed. Whatever you do shall prosper. Your habitation is blessed. Your bread is blessed. Your water is blessed. You're the head, you're not the tail. You're above and not beneath. He preserves you going out, coming in for this time forth and even forevermore. And then, if you stand before Jesus and all is well, he will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over small matters. I'll make you ruler over many. Now, every partaker of the heavenly calling is to be faithful in many ways. You are to be faithful so you get blessing, faithful to spend time with God. When you love someone, you spend time with them. And this is a love affair. Your first priority is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So you want to love him. I heard of a man who had a fiance and was about 4 miles to get to her place. He had worked till 5 p.m., drive 4 miles, have dinner with her, drive 4 miles back, get up early the next morning. Now that's love. You spend time with each other. So partakers of the heavenly calling, every day of your life, make a certain time, a date with God, and spend time with him alone to love him. No cell phones, no radio, no TV, no cats, no dogs, no people, nothing there, just you and God loving him. It's a love affair. Partakers of the heavenly calling, you spend time every day listening to God's voice. His voice is the Bible, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Every day of your life, you go in to your secret place, wherever that is, just you and God, and you open the Bible. You don't read a little devotional book with one little verse and hurry up out the door. You read a lot of that, and you get it in, and you hear his voice. Our members of the partakers of the heavenly calling, you pray without ceasing. That is a command. You learn to multitask. This means you stay in an attitude of perpetual prayer. Now, prayer is not always doing all the talking. You talk to God, but you listen to Him. So you spend time with Him to love Him. You hear His word. You read your Bible every day. And you pray every day. And let Him talk to you when you pray. And every partaker of the whole heavenly calling, you forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It is a sin not to go to church unless, of course, you're sick and can't get there. With the many-membered body of Christ, the foot cannot say, I don't need the mouth. The hand cannot say, I don't need the ear. We need one another. We need that. And so you're supposed to go to church. Now, where do you go to church? You go where the Holy Spirit leads you, where the Bible is taught one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, and the teacher studies from the original languages to get the truth of it, and where the person is anointed by the Holy Spirit, where they do not beg for money, and where they have healing and deliverance of demons, and you have a lot of prayer. And so if you've got all of that now, you're supposed to be faithful. Now, I want you to know to be faithful to a church. When you find the place you're supposed to go, you're not supposed to be divided. A house divided cannot stand. Some people say, well, I go to this church and I go to this church. Now, it's not wrong to hear other people. We all listen to other people. But when you're called to a church, you're to make a commitment and be faithful there. You cannot have two masters, two pastors. A house divided cannot stand. You're going to get confused. So every time the door opens, partake of heavenly calling. Go to church on Sunday and go on Wednesday. That is your obligation. You're to be faithful. And then you're to be faithful to pray for the pastor and pray for the other members there and to love them and help them. And then you're to be faithful in your tithes and offerings because you want to give wherever the word is, where the meat is, that's where you go. So you are to be faithful. And then Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. I'll make you ruler over many.
Verse 3. For this man was counted more worthy of glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house.
Jesus loves Moses. He loves all of us, but he's the head and we are the body. No wonder that Jesus' stepfather, Joseph, was a carpenter. You know Jesus got in there and hammered a nail, and he built the house. He's building the many-membered body of Christ.
Amen. Verse 4. For every house is builded by some man.
Now, when a builder decides he's going to build a house, one of the most important things is a chief cornerstone. If Trent's here, he'll verify this. The chief cornerstone is the most important, and all the other stones refer to the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2 says Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And Peter says, the partakers of the heavenly calling, the many-membered body of Christ, you are living stones. We take our direction from Jesus. Now, you got to pour the concrete to build the house. You got to pour the concrete because you got to have a firm foundation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then they put steel beams up through that concrete before it dries, and the steel beams support the house. Jesus is our rod, and he holds up everything with the word of his power. When the concrete dries, it seals those steel beams. The Holy Spirit seals you, Christian, unto the day of redemption. Now, when the construction worker finishes at night, he's supposed to clean up the place because the walls are not there yet. And things come in there. Why, goodness, snakes can come in. So he cleans it out. If he doesn't, when they put up the walls and get it finished, there might be a snake in every room, and that could kill you. So in the many-membered body of Christ, partakers of the heavenly calling, you're to make sure that you keep the snakes out of your life and others. Not a literal snake, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain. Cain, the child of the devil, the serpent seed, that devil. And the demons that go along with it. You got to keep your house clean of demons and of devils and of any kind of sin. Keep your slate clean in Jesus' mighty name. Now, you got to have some beams in there. And so the beams are going to just got to get that before you put the wall on there. The Bible says partakers of the heavenly calling, members of the body of Christ, you are the cedars of Lebanon. So you've got a place in that house, and you want to take your place. And then you got to have a wall to keep the devil out, the enemies out, and keep the snakes out. Ezekiel says that God is our wall of fire about us. It doesn't burn us, but it burns the enemy away. He shamars us about. He guards us. So see, we got to have the wall. Then you got to have a roof to keep the rain out, and that's Jesus. He's the great fir tree. He's the head. But every house has got to have a door. Jesus is the door. Now, some of you in the house of God are to be a doorkeeper. That's not a bad thing. Somebody said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. You are a door opener. You are supposed to study God's word, be filled with the Spirit, pray, go out, win souls in, and bring them into the door, bring them into Jesus. That's your job in the house. Now, we got a window in the house. You look out the window, I can watch out and see the enemy coming. So you see, you are to be a watchman on the wall and watch out for other people in the house, whether they're sick or whether they're filled with demons or drugs or alcohol or pornography or lying spirit or lukewarm or whatever they're doing their sin. And you look out for them and you pray for them, intercessory prayer. Yep.
Amen.
And you know, they got some wires in that house for the electricity. You know, Benjamin Franklin did not create electricity. He discovered it. God already had the lightning. In the house of God, you are to have the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that gives you power over all the power of the enemy, over devils and demons, or any kind of thing that will come against you. And remember, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you are to be about that house and taking care of it, and not to be not taking care of the house. Everybody's supposed to go to church, get the church that's right for you, go there every time the door opens and participate. You're to be a member of the body of Christ, a member of a church.
Amen.
But he that built all things is God.
Jesus made everything. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now, in the natural, to build the house, you got to have some bricks there. God made the soil from which you make the bricks. God made the trees from which you make the timber. Now, everyone who is a partaker of the holy calling, a Christian sanctified member of the body of Christ, you have something to do to be in a positive way in the church. You are to be a positive, active member of the house of God. Everybody's got something to be so you can make this house alive and bring people in through the door. For some people, you might be called to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. Maybe you're called to be a Christian mother to read your children the Bible and pray with them. Maybe you're a songwriter. Maybe you're a businessman, and your business is a ministry. Scott Merson, many years ago, felt the nudge to have a place where he could get fresh vegetables and fruit and nuts without all of the things they put in them. Now, God had already created the fruits and nuts and vegetables, but Scott had to hammer and nail. We call that hard work, Scott. He had to find the farmer's market. Then he had to buy a truck because a truck already existed to go and get it. And then Scott had to find a place for it. God had already created the soil for the produce place, but Scott had to hammer and nail. And you know what? It's a Christian ministry there. Everything Scott needed was there right then when he first started, but he had to harness it. God had already prepared everything he needed. And look at that beautiful Christian place now. Many years ago, God told me, I jumped out of bed and started a school of music, speech, manners, and Bible. Now, music, speech, manners, and Bible already exist, and the love that I would need to do the school. But I had to go to college and study music, speech, manners, and Bible. And then I had to have the love. I had to do the hammering, and I had to do nailing. But everything was already prepared for me. Now, our wonderful brother here, Frank Toscano, has a wonderful gift to write parodies and give God the glory. Everything's already prepared for him because many years ago, the Beatles wrote a song, I Believe in Yesterday. Well, nobody believes in yesterday. So Frank Toscano said, I believe in Yahweh.
Amen.
Yahweh is the Lord. Yahweh was already there, always has been. And the faith was in Frank because God's given everybody the faith to believe. So all he had to do was do the hammering and doing the nailing. Now, you're a Christian mother, and you want to be a really wonderful Christian mother to your child. Well, the first thing you got to do is save so you can be a Christian, but the salvation is already there. It's available. Jesus already did that for you. Now, you're always a Christian mother. You gather your children every day, and you read the Bible to them. The Bible's already there. All you have to do is hammer and nail it and get the Bible. You pray with your children every single day. I know they'll grumble. Don't worry about it. It'll change their life. They'll remember when they get old. And you pray with them, and so the prayer's already there. All you have to do is open your mouth and pray. So you see, every one of you has got some place to be. I didn't name your place, but you've got your place. Amen. Don't you ever tell me, I would do what God tells me to do, but I can't yet. I don't have enough. It's not time. Yes, it is. Get up out of the boat and go forth now. Amen. And be. You are to be an active member in the house of God, and you're not to be. Will you do that?
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after.
The reason Moses could stand up, he knew that one day the Messiah would come through that lineage. He didn't look at the small picture when they tried to kill him and cuss him and, you know, deny him and hurt him. He just kept looking why he was doing it. He was doing it so the Messiah could come. Scott Merson's Produce Place is all about Jesus and God. My school is all about Jesus. Frank's song is all about Jesus. A Christian mother is all about Jesus. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Keep your reason for doing that job. If you're building barbed wire fences, build them for the Lord. You understand? You'd be surprised how much joy that can bring, even to the most mundane kind of a job.
Verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house.
Jesus is the head, and we're the body. I just sang him a little song there.
Whose house are we?
That's you. If you're partaker of the holy calling, a member of the body of Christ, if you're saved and sanctified.
If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
Now, you want to be in the house of God for all eternity. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But you could not be. Remember my title, To Be and Not to Be? How could you not be? You could be cast out. Jesus says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You have to keep that faith and that confidence all the way to the end when Jesus comes. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, the real Jesus will not come until the man of sin be revealed. That's the Antichrist instead of Christ. He's coming before Jesus. The Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Sixth action, seventh action. But the Antichrist is going to look like Jesus, act like him, talk like him, bring peace and safety. See, right now we need somebody to say peace. So this is a threshold for him. He's coming first. The whole world will go after him. Uh-oh. If they are saved, they can't be in the house of God forever. And half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins, are going to fall off to him. And Paul says they will fall off the apostasy. So if you fall off to the Antichrist, you'll be cast out of the house of God. To be or not to be, I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I want to introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Thank you for that. That was awesome. That was awesome. Awesome.
The word of God is awesome.
Amen.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 61.
Hallelujah. Amen. Great Scott. The glory of the Lord is risen to you upon you. When he comes, boys, he's going to glorify his house. Amen. Now, before I give you a seedling for healing, let's pray for anyone who's not saved. Anyone in cyberspace or in here, if you're not saved, that's the most important thing right now. Because we want you to spend eternity with us in the Father's house forever. Pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart, and God will save you. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
Give me eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Give me eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
And use me,
and use me
to win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. There's that speaking again. You need to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear Scott give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. You'll get my voicemail. Say your little confession there. And I'll pray for you, and welcome to the family of God. And now, your healing seedling for the week. We learned last week that many sicknesses and diseases are caused by demons. Not all of them, but many of them. We learned that one of the ways that demons get into you, even a wonderful Christian, inadvertently, you probably don't even know it, is because of negative emotional feelings. In other words, you feel unforgiveness, you feel hatred, you feel anger, you feel fear, you feel bitterness, and then those demons have that name and they come in and they can cause you to be sick. Now, here's another sealing for your healing. Another type demon can come in by what you say. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are the power of the tongue. Jesus says you're snared by the words of your mouth. Our lesson tonight, Jesus is the high priest of our profession, what you say. Now, all of us slip up sometime, and we say little things like, I'm tired, I'm sick, but when you do that, repent of that, quit then, and then say something else. If you keep saying you're tired, you don't mean it. If you keep saying you're sick, you don't mean it. If you keep saying you're afraid, you don't mean it. If you keep saying you don't have enough, you don't mean it, but those demons heard you, and you've opened a door, and you're a good Christian person, and they come in, and they make you tired, and they make you sick, and they sometimes can take you out. They take a stronghold in you, and then they have to be cast out in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. They have to be commanded out. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
So, negative emotional feelings and negative words, in other words, be a word watcher. It's not easy. Been there, done that. I've had everything happen to me in the world. I know how hard it is. But it's better to be well than to be sick. It's better to be strong like I am. 120 years old, I'm still going strong. Well, I'm not quite that old. It's better to be that, to have energy, than some of you little teenagers drooping along here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing's given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is the Lord Jesus. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And no greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear, 'cause I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you need to speak your mind. I will listen. when the laughter turns to crying, through the winning, losing, and trying, we'll be together. 'Cause I will be here. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the future is unclear, I will be here. Just as sure as the seasons were made for change, our lifetimes were made for these years. So I will be here. I will be here so you can cry on my shoulder. When the mirror tells us we're older, I will hold you, and I will be here to watch you grow in beauty and tell you all the things you mean to me. I will be here. I will be true to the promise I have made to you and to the one who gave you to me. And just as sure as the seasons were made for change, our lifetimes were made for these years. So I will be here, we'll be together. Oh, yes, we will. 'Cause I will be here. I will be
worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
You're in a better place, I've heard a thousand times, and at least a thousand times I've rejoiced for you. But the reason why I'm broken, the reason why I cry, is how long must I wait to be with you? I close my eyes and I see your face. If home's where my heart is, then I'm out of place. Lord, won't you give me strength to make it through somehow? I've never been more homesick than now. I don't understand your ways. The reason why I wonder if I'll ever know. But even if you showed me, the hurt would be the same. 'Cause I'm still here, so far away from home. I close my eyes and I see your face. If home's where my heart is, then I'm out of place. Lord, won't you give me strength to make it through somehow? I've never been more homesick than now. In Christ, there are no goodbyes.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
You say, well, since he set me free, why am I still in jail? Because you've been used to being in jail so long, you don't know how to walk out when the door flies open.
Dr. Tony Evans says victory comes when believers realize who's doing the real fighting.
It is when God fights the battle for you, not when you fight the battle for you, that you win against the evil one.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says the success or failure you experience in this world is determined by what goes on in a different world. Let's join him as he explains.
There is no battle that you could conceive of that can match, that could compete with the battle that you and I are engaged in. This warfare that we're going to be discussing affects every area of your life and every individual in your life. There is not one boy, one girl, one man or woman who can extricate themselves from the battle of the ages, spiritual warfare. There's no place to run, no place to hide. There is no bunker, foxhole that you can get in to that will alleviate you from the repercussions of this battle. This is a battle like none you've ever thought of, conceived of, heard of, or interfaced with. Think of the worst battle in human history, and it's peanuts next to the battle that we will be discussing, this battle called spiritual warfare. Many of you know what it's all about, even though you may not know that it's a warfare because you are one of its casualties. Perhaps you are an emotional casualty of this warfare. Discouragement, depression, downtroddenness, perhaps a sense of even split personality has affected you by this war. Many of us have been affected in our marriages by it. Divorce, conflict, being bruised and battered as children growing up in insensitive homes. You thought it was simply a problem of a bad mom and a bad dad. No, it was a problem of a bad war. And you and I are in the midst of that warfare. It affects us morally. It affects our ability to control our passions or to yield to those passions. Many of us did not know it, but our financial situation is directly related to losing the warfare. And we just thought it was related to the credit cards. When it is intricately tied to a battle that is raging beyond the scope of what you naturally think of. This battle affects us in our relationships, our friends, our coworkers. No matter where you run, where you try to hide, you are a recipient of the battle of the ages. The battle I simply call spiritual warfare. First of all, let me clarify the essence of this war. Let me state what this war is all about. What you must understand and I must understand is that this battle is at its core, at its heart, in its center, spiritual. It is not first physical, it is first spiritual. So to the degree that you understand and I understand and relate to it on a spiritual level is to the degree that we can make sense of it and be prepared for it. Perhaps a definition will help. Spiritual warfare is that cosmic conflict in the invisible angelic realm that is being waged in the context of the visible physical realm. Let me say that again. When I use the term spiritual warfare, I am referring to a cosmic conflict occurring in the invisible angelic realm that is being flushed out, worked out, in the very visible physical realm. Or to put it another way, the cause of the war is something you can't see. You are fighting in the context of an invisible battle that involves invisible beings, yet they're taking it out on you and me. Now, it's hard enough to whip somebody you can see. It's even much harder to try to whip something you can't see. And at the core of this battle is something you can't see. Because we're told in verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but rulers and powers and world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. To put it another way, you and I are in a battle fighting beings we can't see, yet their effect on us we can see. Paul the Apostle says you make a grand mistake if you think people are your problem. He says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means people. As bad as people are, they are merely conduits of another battle. What Satan has done in slipping us a Mickey is he has successfully gotten us to fight people rather than that which is causing people to be the people that they are. All of us have been in situations trying to change people who are not doing right, maybe not understanding that the people who are not doing right by us could very well be under control of a person that they can't control. until you and I learn to understand that what happens through people, that does not exonerate the wrong things that people do, but that what happens through people, through you, through me, through people upon us, has at its core something that is much grandiose than they are, and that is a whole spiritual battle. Now, let me try to make sense of this, because today I want to set a foundation. Everything physical, let me say this again, everything physical is influenced, caused, or provoked by something spiritual. There is nothing that your five senses partake of, your physical being, that is not generated and influenced by that which your five senses do not partake of. Which means that if you're going to fight this battle, you need a sixth sense. You need something that goes beyond the obvious use of your physiology and the obvious use of your physical well-being. Daniel chapter 4, 26 states that heaven rules what takes place on earth. Everything that takes place on earth was precipitated by something that took place in heaven. So that until you and I, listen now, can address the spiritual cause, we will never fix the physical effect. Now, I'm hoping that the result of this series will save you some money. Because you'll perhaps stop spending money on physical solutions that don't start with a spiritual solution. Perhaps as a result of this series, I'll save you some time. Perhaps instead of spending all of your time on human, man-made solutions, you'll start with the spirit realm and get that to take care of the physical realm. Perhaps out of the result or as a result of this series will save you some relationships. Because instead of starting first with the wrong people have done to you, you'll start first with the wrong that the spirit world has done to the people who are doing wrong to you. When we understand that this is spiritually provoked, it affects our worldview. Now, worldview has to do with the lenses by which you perceive reality. When I say one's worldview, it has to do with the presuppositions that determine what you believe. Your worldview means how you look at life. Now, there are only two real worldviews. There is a naturalistic worldview, materialistic, it's sometimes called, and today, in modern America, we could even call it scientific worldview. This is the worldview, naturalistic, materialistic, scientific, that simply says that man, by his reason, can figure out how the world works. And so, if you can put it in a test tube and look at it that way, and it manifests itself and becomes a hypothesis, and then you reduce it to a thesis, and you begin to work on it, that's all you need. It is naturalism or materialism or the scientific orientation that has led to agnosticism and atheism. That is, you don't need God as long as you have a test tube. It is the naturalistic worldview. And the tragedy is that many of us as Christians have been lured into this worldview. Now, we don't deny the other worldview, we just don't live by the other worldview. And when I talk about worldview, I'm not talking about what you're saying, I'm not talking about what you're thinking, I'm talking about how you're living. Because you determine a worldview by a person's behavior, not by a person's talk. I can say all day long, I believe in God, but if my walk doesn't walk,